You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Side of the road. We were level once again on the bright side of the road. Little daughters, come with me.
Yeah, baby.
Help me share my load.
Now, I don't know, but, like, all week I felt like singing.
Sometimes I don't know why.
Joining me is a man who always lives on the bright side of the road, and if it's
amen, just, brother.
And if it ain't bright, he'll make it bright by the power of his personality. So, Uncle Mountain should be known as Uncle Magic, and Kim Holmes has always been that kind of guy since I first met him. He walks in with a smile on his face, and he's a happy guy, even when he's not really happy. Right? He can fake it with the best of them. And when you would be in his restaurant, the highlight of the night would be when the big man made his lap around the room. And it's
sweating
just
on the customers.
But no, you've always been a happy guy. Where did you get your happy streak from?
You know, I just that was the way I grew up. I had a tough start out of the gate losing my father.
Right.
But otherwise, after that, it was all sunshine.
Nice.
And, there were some hard times.
Yeah, it wasn't
like
all,
we all have.
It wasn't all sunshine.
But you'd be positive vibrations, as Bob Marley would say.
So you're
positive vibrations.
So you've always been that. You've always been that guy.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, interesting.
Always looking for the bright side of the road, you know?
Well, you know what? There's some people that are doing something in North Dakota that got in touch with me this week. And so I am hoping that you get a chance to see Post-Traumatic Winning because you will love it.
I will.
So, when? They're doing something out at the University of North Dakota. And so I'm trying to get up there.
That would be huge.
Oh, well, you know, what's even huger than huge is, you know, so when people put events like this on, it's like, okay, can you come talk? Like, no. I'm not going to talk, man. I'm going to transform the whole way you look at this. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I want to do for you. So you're looking at it kind of like, you know, can you talk to them about what you've been through? Well, yeah, I'll do that. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell them that they can take those experiences that they've had and they can combine that with the truth that comes from my Marine culture, right? And you can give that to other people and you can change their lives and you'll change your life, right? I sound like Billy Sunday
right here.
For those of you who know who Billy Sunday was. The, And so, yeah, I'm gonna blow the roof off the place, okay? That's what I'm gonna do. And they're like,
oh wow,
they're like,
that'd be great.
They're like, who is this dude, man? You need to settle the fuck down. That's what needs to happen right now. And I'm
calm
like,
down, sir.
Yeah, and I'm like,
down.
No, you don't understand. You don't understand what I've seen. You don't understand what I what people have come up to me and said. Because if you dude, that's like the past tense of did for illiterate people.
Yeah.
If you dude, right, knew that, then you would have my shit up there right now. So anyway, so I'm working on that.
Oh, that would be spectacular.
Well, it'd be really cool if you were in the audience and some other friends of mine could show up because.
Yes, we will.
Because it's the truth and it's cool stuff. And so anyway, now, let me tell you the story. I've told it a couple times on the air this week, but I'll tell it again. I had a Marine, a sergeant, come up to me. And we had a leadership thing last week when I was in North Carolina. And he comes up and he says, "Hey, sir, it's great that you're here." And so we were talking about some leadership thing, and we were shooting the shit. And we got done with that. He looks at me. He said, "You know, I went to your class in January." I said, "Yeah." And he said, I was really pissed that I went had to go for 3 hours of that shit." And I said, "Yeah." And he said, and I walked out with my best friend. We served at every duty station together. And he looked at me and said, "That's the best class I've ever been to in my life." And then he looked at me and he said, "I know you don't need your tire pumped, okay?" I'm like, "No, feel free to. Go ahead. Pump the shit out of that thing."
And I'm always a few pounds low.
Yeah. So he said, "No, I'm not going to do that." And I said, "Well, thanks. No, I appreciate it." He said, "No, that's not the end of the story." He said, "My father committed suicide in May. And because of you and that class, I knew what to do for me. I knew what to do for my family, and I knew what to do for the people around me." How cool! Wow. How cool is that, man?
That's huge.
Yeah, it's
just huge.
And when I conceived of this thing, because of what I'd learned, I had two people in mind. One is people that are in the darkness, right? That have already had traumatic things happen to them, and hopefully be able to turn the light on and say, "No, there's a door up there towards the corner. In the end, come on, I will take you there. I'll show you the promised land." And then for other people who haven't been in the valley yet, you know, when those things do happen to them, they're going to say what that sergeant said, which is, "I know what to do." And so that's the reality that I live on a daily basis. And like I said, I mean, I'm the coolest motherfucker that I know, because it's just every day in some way, shape, or form, somebody reaches out to me. I'm coming back up to Mankato in November.
Okay.
And so maybe I could swing something in G-Funk when I go up there. Maybe I'll link them together. Now I just got
that would be huge.
Yeah, I just got a thought. So anyhow. Yeah, so I would love for you to be able to see it. So you'd be fired up. You'd be motivated.
Oh, I will see it. I will. There's no question I will see it, and I will be in the audience.
Well, you heard the whole thing, you know, you our conversations and
we've lived it together. Yes, we
and
have.
So I'd love for you to see it. The here's an email entitled "Soul Food?" Good morning, Mac and Chef. Hey, does Kim enjoy soul food, i.e. gumbo, red beans and rice, hush puppies, etc.? I found a little joint in Benicia yesterday. It was outstanding. Be well, boys. That's a guy from Vacaville. For those of you who don't know where Benicia is, it is in the Bay Area, around Pinole, if you know where that is. But as the San Francisco Bay kind of moves inland towards Vallejo, towards Napa, and all that kind of shit, that's where you'll find Benicia, Cartinas. There's a bridge there. Soul food. Are you a soul food guy? Well, first of all, Kim's an any food dude. So just for the record,
yes, I am a soul food guy in a big way.
What's your favorite? What's your go to?
My go to would be cheesy grits.
I hate grits.
Honestly, hate grits?
Oh my God, they taste disgusting. Now maybe I just had them.
You've never had my cheesy grits, and when you come up here, I will make you a cheesy grits.
Okay.
For breakfast.
Okay. I had them in Alabama when I was a kid, and they were just white, mushy, did not.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what my first experience was.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I ain't eating that. I ain't having that.
And I like collard greens. You got to cook them for hours, 3-4 hours. You got to have a ham hock in there, so you get that ham flavor. It's kind of a salty dish, and I have to back down way, way down on the salt. But once the greens are cooked, they're tender, a little onion, some carrot, absolutely off the hook.
What are collard greens? This is one of my favorite things to do, because when we talk about food, especially food that comes from the poor segments of our cultures, right, whether we talk about chicken feet or, what is it, tripe? The stomach of
tripe, the stomach of... of a cow or a pig.
Yeah, that was shit that rich people
were... stomach lining.
Yeah, that was shit that rich people weren't eating, okay? Menudo, right, is another one. I mean, so you have all
menudo.
These...
that's tripe soup.
Okay.
Menudo is tripe soup.
So you these dishes that become staples of you know, that have been mainstream, started out as... rich people ain't eating this, so they're throwing it away, so maybe we could do something with it, which I love.
And the art form to usually that type of food, the slave food, is that you have to cook the hell out of it, and you have to pound it or season it generously.
So collard greens come from where, Kim?
They're greens. They're, you know, like spinach.
Right.
They grow like spinach or kale.
But I've never heard of a plant.
But it's a bitter tasting. If you just took a collard green and tasted it, it would taste bitter. And you go, what the F is this?
We don't say the F. We say
You're not giving me this stuff.
So wait a minute.
So
is a collard green, is it a form of a plant?
Yes.
Called a collard plant?
Collard green. I don't know that any more than that, but I will look it up.
I'm looking it up right now. You keep talking
And then you've had one of my favorite things, my cornbread.
Yes.
Which you love. And you cook the cornbread, I have to cook it in a cast iron skillet. Because then you get that crust on the outer side of the cornbread. And then it's tender and succulent inside. And, oh, baby. And cornbread goes good with anything Southern. And hush puppies can be god awful or god awful good.
Explain what hush puppies are.
Hush puppies are batter with you can have corn hush puppies with corn in it, and you drop them in deep fat and they fry it, and you fry them, and you know, they drop to the bottom, and then when they pop up, they're done. And, you know, some people will take hush puppies and put syrup on them. Like you go to Popeye's, fried chicken. That's a popular chain in the South. And, they're in a war with Chick-fil-A for the best chicken sandwich, fried chicken sandwich.
Oh, I know. It's a big deal. They
serve hush puppies as a little side, and it's just a starch filler, basically. It's not gourmet eats. Now, I have a Southern cook that would call bullshit on that, but it goes, hush puppies go great with stuff. It's a side dish. You know, you get a couple of hush puppies with your fried chicken.
I still don't understand if a collard green comes out of like a collard plant. I'm reading, but I don't really understand. So if anybody understands, what it's part of the family. It's part of the family that contains bok choy, kale, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, turnips, right? So it's out of that family. Harvest leaves, when they're up to 10 inches long, dark green and still young. Old leaves may be tough or stringy. Pick the lower leaves first, working your way up. You can even harvest leaves, but I don't understand. So what plant are you picking from? That's what I'm confused about. I don't understand.
I always thought it was its own, you know, greens, collard greens were their own plant, you know, like spinach or kale.
For faster results and better chance of success, start with vigorous young bonnie plants, collards, instead of with seeds. So it's a plant. Got it. Did it grow wild, or it was just too tough for rich people to eat? And so as a result, as you said, you know, I mean, this primarily comes out of the South and, you know, out of the culture of they grew up around slavery.
Right. And I don't think that the slave masters had a clue on how to cook. Who were the chefs who cooked in those?
I don't know.
In the South, the black people cooked. That's who cooked.
Is that? Well, I imagine they cook for themselves. Oh, they cook both in the house and then outside the house.
In the house and out, and then for themselves.
Right.
And you know, they were told what cuts of meat to cook and how to cook them, and they did what they thought was best.
So that they would probably take that which was thrown away, and they would take it back down the hill, and they would go and they would turn that trash into food. Which is, again, that's one of the things that as Kim and I have talked about, culinary history, I've always found it, you know, I've always found it fun, and because I love history. I've always found it, speaking of history, Patrick's been in Rome all week. He's been...
Excuse me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Mr. Big Shot.
Accidenti.
Yeah. Ben has started in Venice, went to Rome, and now I want to say he's either on the Italian coast or the Spanish coast.
My guess is the Italian coast.
And he doesn't know shit about history either. He's like, I wish I would have learned
more
about that.
The Amalfi coast is south of Rome.
That's where he is.
Limoncello is.
That's where he is.
Limoncello is made along the Amalfi coast. And he will come back with probably a case of limoncello, or at least know about it now.
What is it?
If he didn't already. It's made from lemons. It's a liqueur. It's a drink after dinner, before dinner, during dinner, whatever the hell you want. But it was usually, like amaretto. It's a sweet liqueur. Limoncello is.
He's not much of a liqueur guy. He's kind of a beer guy. He's a North Dakota kid.
Yeah. But they have some good beers. Peroni is probably the
Patrick's popular. He's masquerading as someone with culture, and he doesn't know anything. I said, "Yeah, should have paid attention in history class." He said, I know. I told him I had to take two semesters of art history in college because I don't know why, but I had to. I think it was mandatory in my major, which was economics. So what the hell does art history have to do with shit? I don't really know. But every day.
Yeah, everything.
twice a week. So if you went Monday, Wednesday, Friday, the classes were 50 minutes. If you went Tuesday and Thursday, they were an hour and 25 minutes. And so so I would go in there with, her name was Therese Whitcomb. She taught art history at the University of San Diego. So it was a death hour, right? After lunch. And she'd come in, and it's art. So we're looking at pictures the whole time with, like, two or three carousels of slides. Remember slide projectors? And you'd go, So she'd be up there, oh, my God, and she'd be just levitating talking about art. During the Baroque period, you see a phenomenon called chiaroscuro, which is light coming through. And I'm like, oh, like, what does this have to do with anything? And so I'd be sitting there slugging it down. During the Bronze period, during this period, the cave paintings at Laszlo, oh, my God. So anyhow, but I will tell you this, I can talk some shit about art when I go to the Getty, when we go to a museum. I'm nobody's old shoe at a museum, just for the record. And my kids hate going to museums with me because they're like, no, 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 we're going to be here for too long. You're going to stay here for too long. You're going to, like, go to that place that you go to. I'm like,
oh.
So
I can stay in a museum forever.
So that's too much to ask for your father, a disabled veteran?
Nice, nice. Real nice. Pull that heartstring, baby.
Oh, yeah, it's like pulling a molar, man. It goes nowhere with those losers. Oh, whatever, dude. I'm like, what? Yeah, whatever. Let's see. Amalfi Coast. It is beautiful, and
yes, it is.
Limoncello is off the hook. Right. That's from a guy who lives in Vacaville. Holy shit. I didn't think, like, all they had was onions there, man.
Dude. Yeah. That's all I thought for years when I lived out there.
Really?
Come around that bridge and, into Vacaville, and you, oh, God, Onion City. I love it. I happen to love onions and the smell of onions.
Oh.
So
hey,
for me, it was a treat.
If you did, man, Vacaville was your place because they had it in spades. Here's another email.
Did.
Mac, I'm curious. Somebody asked me this the other day, and I thought of you and the chef immediately. Probably more the chef than you, Mac. Don't take that the wrong way. Oh, no, I'll take it the right way. Like, yeah, go to hell. Okay. here's the question. If the chef could have 5 foods and they could be anything that he's going to take with him to a desert island, what would they be?
Oh,
that's a hard
one. Well,
5 foods and that's
5
it.
5 foods?
5 foods.
I would probably take tomatoes, pasta.
Okay, so we have tomato, and we have, like, what kind of pasta?
Pasta.
What kind of pasta? Come on.
Spaghetti.
Pasta.
Spaghetti.
Bischetti?
Spaghetti. You can do so much with that.
All right.
You can do a casserole. You can do it with cream. You can do it with tomatoes. You can do it with just olive oil, Parmesan cheese. I'd have to have a wheel of Parmesan cheese.
So the Parmesan cheese, that's one of the 5. So you got tomato, Parmesan cheese. You're cooking one dish.
And meat, a big, big prime rib.
So you would take prime rib, pasta, tomato.
Yeah.
I don't know if individual food items are answering this. Because, like, if you said Caesar salad, then you get the croutons, right? You get,
yeah.
So that, I mean,
I definitely would be a good.
Okay.
And
so,
Caesar salad, if you say Caesar salad, you have the Parmesan.
Right.
You have anchovies.
That's all.
It would have to be fish. Fish. I love fish.
Okay, so let's back up.
Kind of
let's
fish.
Back up. Okay, you can take 5. Let me refine the question. You can take 5 dishes. Okay, so you don't have to say tomato. You can say Caesar salad, which doesn't have a tomato because that's not in the recipe. Because I know the recipe. I know the history of the Caesar salad because I like the history of food. Boom! So anyway, I thought I'd circle that back. So 5 dishes on a desert island, what would they be? Number 1 is, you said prime rib.
Yes, prime rib.
Okay, so you
then
prime rib.
Caesar salad.
Yeah. Oh.
Definitely a Caesar salad because of all the other things that go with it.
Okay.
The bread, the cheese, the
anchovies. You're not going to have all that. Okay. Bread doesn't go with Caesar salad. Croutons do.
croutons do, but how do you get croutons?
They magically appear on the island. They don't, you don't get...
I'd have my own, I'd make my own little oven to bake bread.
Yeah, that's not out of the realm of possibilities. You know what I was thinking of the other day when I was loading my dishwasher? You know? Pottery.
Yes.
The origin of pottery goes back when?
How many thousands of years?
Yeah. How many thousands of years to go back? Pottery is one of the oldest human inventions, originating before the Neolithic period, whenever the fuck that was, with ceramic objects like the Gravitian culture Venus of Dolny Vestonici figurine discovered in the Czech Republic, dating back to 29,000 to 25,000 BC. Pottery, yeah, that's old. Pottery vessels, so that's what, 27,000 years old. Pottery vessels that were discovered in Xinga, China, date back to, date back to 18,000 BC. So, yeah, that's amazing. I thought of that the other day. I'm like, this bowl.
That's older than I am.
Exactly. By a couple of years.
Not by much.
We get sidetracked. So, prime rib, Caesar salad, what else? That's where we're at right now. Desert island,
fish,
five dishes.
I would say lobsters.
I think that's a bad call, because if you're on a desert island, maybe you can go in and get some. Now, you can choose it if you want to, but I'm just saying, you're on a desert island, there's got to be some fish. You can probably make... you could probably learn how to make...
I'd probably have
sushi.
Some kind of... I love lamb.
Okay.
I would have lamb.
All right, so you have lamb, prime rib, and Caesar salad. Two more.
Yeah. Okay. I would have a lasagna.
Okay, so lasagna. We're kind of heavy on dinner, man. Are you going to eat lunch or breakfast?
Eggs.
Eggs. All right. There you have it. That's the five.
Yeah.
Heavy on dinner. Heavy on dinner, folks.
Well, and with all of that, it's called portion control.
No.
And
right.
you can make smaller dishes of that for...
The world doesn't do portion control. It just eats more.
Yeah. Yeah, well, not this world anymore.
Oh, really? That's not your world anymore?
That is not my world anymore. I'm not in the restaurant business. I just don't go there anymore.
Wow. That's a shame because
I love talking about it. I love telling people how to do stuff. Answer any questions I can, but having a restaurant at my disposal with, I think I'm going to, there's this dish I used to cook called a Kasher Schnitt mit Ei.
What the
okay?
hell? That sounds German.
And it's Swiss German.
Okay.
And what it is, it's ham, egg, cheese, bread, and wine.
Egg, cheese, bread, and wine. Are there eggs in it?
Then there's egg in there. You toast the bread under the broiler, and then you put it in a ramekin. You know what I mean with a ramekin? You put that in there.
Wait, no, I don't know what, like what the hell is
okay,
that?
Okay, and then it's a low-sided oval dish called a ramekin.
Okay, got it.
And it's ceramic.
Got it.
And it can be oven, it's oven proof. And then you put the cheese on the bread and you put it under the broiler. And then you put a fried egg on top of that. And then you have an ounce of white wine.
Okay.
And right at the end, you dump that white wine in the heat The ramekin's hot because it's under the broiler.
Okay.
And that bread soaks up the wine.
Oh, we love
it
that.
Just, oh, oh, oh. And every time I
kind of like the way the wafers soak up the liquor in tiramisu.
Yes, just the same principle, exactly, exactamundo.
How about that?
But
boom.
But that's very impressive. but yeah, it's a white wine and it soaks up and you have that wine flavor and it permeates the whole slice of bread. And it's not a little quarter inch slice of bread. It's like an 1 inch slice of bread. It's a rustic, European Swiss bread.
Got it.
That they just cut it off a loaf and throw it in this ramekin and put it in the oven or under the broiler and toast it, flip it, toast it, put the cheese on, put the egg on, and then put this white wine just running around the dish, and it just goes underneath the toast and gets sucked up into the bread, and then you put paprika and pepper on there, and you're in the front row. And I'm sorry. There's a slice of ham under the cheese. Okay, the bread, ham, the cheese, the egg, and then the shot of wine, ounce and a half of wine. I usually put a little bit more wine because I like that flavor.
A little for the Pope, yes.
And that was my favorite dish that I go to this one tavern in Switzerland. Either after skiing or in the morning, I'd have it. When I got off the train, I'd been down in Spain or Italy, traveling around, and we're coming back to work in the fall to Wangen, Switzerland. I'd go into the Eiger Cafe, and that's the first thing I'd order. I said, "Give me a Kaiser Schnitt mit Ei, bitte, please."
Nice, listen to you.
And boy, they come and then. Oh, God, Bob and I were so hungry one time. I said, "I want another one." She looked at me, started laughing, and she says, "Are you sure? They're pretty, they're going to hit bottom there."
Really?
I said, "Just bring me another beer." And she says, "No, I won't, but I will bring you some tea to help you digest it."
And what were the results?
And she, it was great. I was filled up for until the next morning. I was a packed puppy. I went up to the hotel, unpacked my bag from 3 months in Spain or wherever we were traveling.
And then what happened? And then you passed out?
No, then we'd buy a case of
this
beer.
Well, wait a minute. She warned you about this liquor, right?
Yeah. Come on, man. Yeah, of course, they always looked after me. But I had to, you have to walk up the hill. And the hill is pretty steep, up to the hotel, about quarter of a mile, half a mile. And so you get up there and, you kind of worked up an appetite. And, because we were so poor when we would get back from our travels, all we had was Norse soup.
We love
dry soup. Yeah. We'd stop by the cheese shop on the way up and get a quart of milk, and then we'd stop by the baker, get a loaf of bread, and the cheese shop, we'd get milk and cheese, and we'd make a bowl of this Norse soup, have a grilled cheese sandwich, and then we'd play cards, and we'd allow ourselves one chocolate bar, and then the three or four of us, depending how many were in the house, would play cards.
Wait a minute, did you tell me if the liquor had any effect on you, or did you skip that part?
No, didn't have any effect. Helped the flavor of the dish.
All right.
It was just an ounce and a half. It wasn't a glass or.
I know, but normally when old ladies warn you, they normally have a fairly decent statistical sample to base the warning on. I'm just saying.
Well, it was the cheese solidifying in your belly.
Oh, that doesn't sound good. Here's another email.
Like a fondue. When you eat a cheese fondue, you drink tea with the cheese fondue.
That's disgusting.
Otherwise, you're creating if you're drinking wine or beer with a fondue, if you don't have tea with it, you're going to have a big ball of cheese that you will not be able to pass.
Yeah, no wonder that I stay away from the whole fondue event. Hold on, here's another email. Mac, what about your five? Let's see. I would give you what I historically eat. If I'm going to go to the island, I'm going to be there forever or be stuck for years. So oatmeal would be around for breakfast. The last few years, I like tortillas, like chicken tacos. So
yeah. You know,
so that would be part of what I do. I hate water. Okay? I hate water. So I have to have some flavoring in it, so I need Crystal Light. So I know that sounds lame, but water sucks, man. I hate it. So I need something to flavor that, and I'll be okay. So what else do I normally consume? Now Kim went for prime rib, but that's a little heavy. I'm like more of a hamburger guy. Right? So I'd want to have a burger. So how many is that? That's Crystal Light, hamburgers, oatmeal, and, chicken tacos. And then I got to have some dessert or something in there, man. I mean, man doesn't live by bread alone. You got to have some peanut butter. So what would either popsicles? Yeah, popsicles. Multi-flavored popsicles, but I only want three colors. I'll eat the purple if I have to. That's the fourth color. But I like red, cherry, and orange. And then the third color is purple, grape. I don't like grape so much. I'm a red and orange popsicle guy. So that would be my fourth. That would be my fourth. And if I had that shit on an island, I'll do all right.
You would do fine.
Here's an email.
No, oatmeal is a nice touch. That's a good hit. I can see that quite easily.
Right. I mean, right.
Because that's what if I either eat yogurt or oatmeal in the morning, one or the other. Today it's still nice around here. It's in the 70s.
And we're talking desert.
So I had yogurt.
Yeah, and we're talking desert island, so it's got to be the staples, right? You got to only five things that you're going to take to a desert island.
Yeah, that's true. That's
so,
true.
Anyway, here's another email. I wish I'd known the chef in Switzerland. He would have been incredible to hang around with. I don't really know that that's a good decision. Okay, the chef's got some issues, but he's normally a happy guy. So, no, I would say no. Whenever you would have met the chef in your life, he would have been a good friend, and because he's a happy guy and he likes food and he likes to have fun and he's not a mean guy.
Oh, the workers, you would have loved Switzerland, especially if you skied or attempted to ski, because the last three winters I was there, I organized the International Snow Snake Competition, and that's a competition of all the workers in the area from all over the world, and we would do different things. One was we had two skiing events, a giant slalom and a slalom. The slalom was just a regular going through gates as fast as you can.
Right.
I finished out of 20 some people. I finished, I think, second to the last. Then we had a giant slalom, which was a little longer and more sweeping turns. But at each turn was a table with a beer you had to chug.
There you go.
And I finished second there.
Would you
maybe I could chug.
Oh, I thought.
And
Oh, yeah. You had to chug the whole beer? So you couldn't just,
yeah. Well, it was a glass of beer, and somebody was filling it up. And you had to chug it and not spill too much. You lost points if you spilled too much and were too sloppy with it. And then you'd put the glass down. You'd ski to the next gate, chug it down, so on and so forth.
Wow.
And then that we had a luge race that we started at Vengenalp, and which was all halfway up the mountain from where the hotel was. And we started out, and it was a luge race. And
come on, man. Was, drunks can't do luge races. That's crazy.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, we can. But anyway, there were a whole bunch of events that that were quite exciting, and drinking competition. The Australians made us do this one. And when you chug beer, you had to be on your knees in front of the table with the beer, a 12-ounce or so pint in front of you, a pound of beer, and your hands on the table. And when they started it, you had to grab the glass, chug the beer, and put the glass down, and the timer would stop. And that was one. Wow. And then we had ice skating, where there was an obstacle course, which I just about killed myself on.
There's a shock.
Yeah. And,
hold on.
I've just got all kinds of fun things.
Well, I've got another email for you. Here's another question relative to soul food. I've tried to prepare it before, and I don't seem to have a whole lot of luck with collard greens. Is there anything Kim can tell me other than you have to cook them for a long time? Kim?
Yes, just a minute. I'm going to... Excuse me.
Good
Excuse
Lord.
Me.
What the hell?
Collard greens has to have some kind of meat in there, like a ham hock, chunks of bone-in pork. But usually it's a ham hock. And that's where you get the salt and the flavor. Some people will put sausage in there, but I don't. It's just ham hocks and onions. You saute the onions, the carrots, and you brown the meat, and then you add liquid water, and then you fill. It's got to be done in a big container, like you know, a 12-quart container, and then you fill all of that all the way to the top with collard greens and stuff them in there, and then you put the lid on. You bring it to a boil, and then you turn it down and simmer it for about 2 to 3 hours.
Whoa, that is long.
You'd have to taste them, but you cook them low and slow for a long time. And that flavor from the ham hock and then the greens mixed together. And that's how I do my collard greens. Now, if you're having trouble.
Probably haven't cooked them long enough. Right.
Yeah.
All right. So when in doubt, cook it for 3 to 4 hours. But that's.
Yes. Yes, and you can taste as you go along, but, you know, you want to throw onions and carrots in there, and don't be shy.
Don't be shy.
And if you want garlic, throw whole garlic cloves in there.
Got it.
If you're a garlic nut.
Throw whole cloves in there?
Peel them and just, what I do is I would peel the clove. And then I'll smash it with the side of the knife and just throw it all in there. Because it'll dissolve over that length of time cooking. It'll pretty much split up and flavor the whole thing. And occasionally stir the collard greens.
Got it.
So you get...
If what does a standard collard green... recipe have? Why does ham hock, right? Why does bacon? Why do those things? I don't know very much about collagen.
Yeah,
but
bacon
to me,
too. Yeah.
But to me, those things are kind of staples of collard green, right? To give it, you know, the flavor.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And gives it its saltiness and the pork flavor from the bacon or ham.
Got it.
You can throw a chunk of pork belly in there.
The bottom line is
2 by 3 inch chunk of pork belly in there, if you so desire.
Right.
And at that length of time, it'll just kind of just dissolve.
Got it.
Can pull it out, cut it up, and throw it back in. That's your call.
All right, I'm with you. Bottom line, it's a pliable vegetable, so season to taste. And, I mean, come on, there's nothing that creates taste like bacon, right? One of God's gifts to mankind, there's... One of the most unique, right? One of the most unique tastes on the planet, and a taste for all time. And it's, if you look back in history, one of the great staples of military organizations was, you know, you had hardtack and bacon, right? So you essentially had a hardened biscuit, and they would and bacon, and what they would do is they heat the bacon up, they take the grease from the bacon and they'd put it on the hardtack, and that's how they traveled. They could take a lot of it wasn't very heavy, and it tasted good. So bacon had been kind of a staple throughout world history. And so anyway, just for the record, here's another one. Mac, has the chef been to any movies? The chef hasn't been to many movies. Have you? The last movie that you told me to see was the Tarantino movie.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It's the last movie you told me to go see.
Yes.
Have you been to any other movies this summer?
I have not since.
Okay. All right. Is there a reason? Is there a reason for that?
Yeah, there's a lot of animated movies coming out, cartoon stuff for the kids this last half of the summer. Not my cup of tea, for the most part. Mm-hmm. Though, if somebody wanted to go see the new version of The Lion King, I would probably do that. But nobody's asked me. So,
really? Miss B doesn't want to go see the Lion King?
No. She said, I'll draw a pass on that, she said.
Really?
I saw the original.
I saw it. I went and saw it with Colleen and Catherine.
I bet it was great.
Colleen, now 16 years of age officially.
Yes, she got the card. I got a great picture of her.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. She loves her birthday. So we had a big celebration.
She looks adorable.
She's not. The
such a hard ass.
Well, I mean, come on.
You fake being a hard ass better than anybody.
Are you kidding me? Do you think? Hey, Colleen, do you think we could shut the door when we go to the bathroom? Like, is that too much to ask? what the hell? Like, I want to make eye contact with you when you're going to the bathroom. Really? Yeah, I don't think so. Like, what happened? Cute little girl, now all of a sudden you're disgusting. And takes her driving test, I think, next week. So,
good luck.
Yeah, memo to you, Colleen, don't screw it up.
Yep.
Cause
you got to take it again.
You got that bus token. We can always renew that thing.
Oh, yeah.
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 And
you don't have to worry about parallel parking.
No, not on the bus. You just get right out and go. What?
That's right.
Here's another email question. Mac, I have a question. French toast. I haven't made it for years, and I was someplace last weekend, and they made it. And I just wondered, does a chef have any recommendations for, one, what kind of bread do you use? Because I believe, just like meat in a dish, the better the meat there is, the better the steak you eat. So I'm a fan of that, and I learned that from him after you were complaining or making an observation that, geez, I had a great steak, and guess what? I paid more for it. So my first question is, what kind of bread would he use? And then does he have anything that he would put in the mix, or what does he make of the mix? French toast.
Oh, good. Great question. I discovered the cinnamon walnut, cinnamon pecan bread at Panera. It's like a swirl bread. It comes in a big loaf. And I cut, for me, okay, I hate French toast. I hate with a passion people who do French toast in thinly sliced bread. And I will cut this 1 to 1.5 inches thick.
Whoa.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. And then you make a batter of 6 eggs. We're talking serious French toast.
We are. If we're doing 6 eggs, for God's sakes.
Well, you're feeding at least 2 to 4 people. Eggs, okay? Yes. A pint of heavy whipping cream.
Yes.
A teaspoon of vanilla extract. You know what I mean. Vanilla extract.
Got it.
And then you put in a dash of cinnamon and nutmeg.
Got it.
If you so desire.
Got it.
The nutmeg, you want to grate the nutmeg. You don't want pour it out of a jar. Cinnamon, you have to.
Got it.
And then you whip that into a froth, and then you you take your slices of bread, and you thoroughly immerse them in your mixture for at least 30 seconds. And if you want to leave them in there for a minute on the side, you perfectly well to do that. You don't want to leave it in there too long, because then the bread will fall apart. But you want the liquid to kind of absorb into the bread. So as long as it takes for the liquid to absorb into the bread, not make it mushy.
Got it.
And then you put a tablespoon of butter in a big saute pan, skillet. It could be cast iron. It could be whatever you want. Okay. Teflon. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
For me, it's always cast iron. And then you do that, and you brown them. You get as many in that, you know, use a 12-inch skillet, so you can get at least 4 pieces of bread in there once. You have your oven preheated to about 200 degrees to keep it warm. And you have a tray with a piece of parchment paper on the tray already in the oven just to heat up. And you preheat this oven before you start this whole process. Okay? Then as you flip them over, you put them inside and hold them, and then you repeat the process for as many pieces as you want.
Well, we got six eggs. We're going to be there for a while.
It's probably good for 8 to 10 pieces of bread. Pretty much go through the loaf.
One and a half inch slices of bread? Like, hello. You're not going to. Who can eat that much French toast?
Well, some people can.
The giant and Jack and the Beanstalk?
That's something like that. But, that's the way I make the French toast.
That is the way.
Will not let me do that very often. And what I do is I'll tone down that recipe, of course, because it's just for me.
Right.
And I'll do maybe two eggs, and a cup of heavy whipping cream, and the vanilla extract and the nutmeg and cinnamon.
Vanilla extract, nutmeg, and cinnamon. Wow.
Yes.
That's a little bit more than most people do. Most people, it's eggs and milk and bomb the bread in there and throw it on the... are you kind of a butter and maple syrup guy? Is that how
you... Yes, I am. Okay. I sure am.
Right.
And then I like with that scrambled eggs and bacon, of course.
If I'm going French toast, I don't go scrambled egg.
Well, got to have eggs with everything.
No, I'm sorry. I don't go there.
Every egg breakfast, I have to have eggs of some type.
Yeah, I don't. But bacon, come on.
Or it doesn't matter.
Is there a better combination than bacon and maple syrup?
Pretty hard to beat.
Yeah, that's champion stuff right there.
Nobody's told me anything better.
Yeah. No, without a doubt.
I figured you would know about it.
Well, no, I mean...
That's a great combination.
Even the dopes among us, you know, their taste buds start screaming when they go maple syrup and, you learn it as a little kid, right? Your mom there's bacon on the plate and there's maple syrup and, right? You wind up sliming your bacon in the maple syrup and you're like, you know, even dopey ass kids go, oh shit, that's good. Right?
Yeah. But whether you use the kind of bread I suggested, which I got at Panera's, or any kind of bread, you cut it yourself. You buy the whole loaf unsliced, and then just cut your wedges, your slices, but don't cut them smaller than an inch.
Yeah, don't be that person. I mean, come on. Here's a question for you. A substitute for cinnamon in French toast... I'm allergic to cinnamon.
Then I would do nutmeg and leave it alone. If you're allergic to cinnamon, absolutely. Okay. Nutmeg is just perfect. You get that same kind of rush.
What do you mean a rush? Like, we're eating French toast. Well,
the flavor.
We're not getting high. What the hell?
Of fresh grated nutmeg is really good. Got it. And that's all I would do.
Okay. Fine. Yeah. Easy peasy, man. Easy peasy. All right. Any big plans for the weekend?
Yes, I do.
Ooh.
I am going to watch the Bison... football team, University of North Dakota State.
No. Yeah, University
North Dakota
of
State University.
University of North Dakota State.
Yeah. UND plays NDSU for the first time in 5 years in Fargo.
They play this weekend.
The tickets this weekend on TV. The tickets are being scalped at $500 a seat.
Whoa, that means the farmers want to go to this game.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the big deal.
Wow.
As far as watching sports, and I wanted to ask you if you saw a picture of the Herald with a moose loose in Memorial Stadium.
Memorial?
A baby moose wandered into town.
Years ago.
It's just this week. Baby moose wandered into town and hung out for a day and would not leave Memorial Stadium and ran around.
That happens. That happens around the university. I mean, I remember...
Yeah.
A few years ago it happened, and the moose was hanging around the overpass. Now, with the amount of people that own
loose, baby.
Yeah, with the amount of people that own shotguns and rifles, that moose needs to have an escort to get out of town, okay? Because that's a miracle that thing even got close to the city. But it might not be moose season. But it's always a bit of a hoot when a moose is loose in the city. Because I think everybody has a fairly good time with it as long as nobody gets hurt and the moose gets out okay.
Nobody gets hurt, and they escorted him out of the city after dark.
Police escort.
When the students bed, if they ever do.
Exactly.
But, yeah, it was dark and there wasn't any traffic, and they got him out of town and sent him north somewhere. I don't know.
But
whether he'll wander back or
just
not.
Just so you know, around the country there's great college rivalries, and especially in states where they don't have professional sports, like, you know, Iowa and Nebraska, you know, they don't have, you know, Alabama doesn't have, they don't have professional sports teams.
Arkansas.
Right. The closest they come is minor league baseball. And so, Kentucky is another one, although the Cincinnati Reds are right across the river, but it's still not a Kentucky team. And so when you see, you know, the two schools in the state playing, it's a
big deal.
It's a huge deal. And, and both teams, used to be reigning powers in Division II football. And now Division II football has kind of sort of gone away as we used to know it. And they've been forced to go Division I and then the, FBS series, football championship series.
Yeah.
Something like that.
The minor Division One.
Yeah, so it's 1AA. And but North Dakota State University, had much to the chagrin of the people in Grand Forks, right? I mean, they run the table. They are the preeminent power, and they used to be neck and neck. I think that nobody in North Dakota anticipated either school having the success that they've had at the Division I AA level. And so all of a sudden the sister school or the rival is kicking everybody's ass, and now you've got to run and play catch up. So that's what's going on.
Yeah.
And they're trying, and the university, which is where Kim and I lived about two blocks from it. Kim lived about maybe a mile from it, maybe a little bit more, a mile and a half. Has one of the best hockey teams, I think.
Yes.
The University of North Dakota and Michigan and Denver are up there with the most NCAA men's hockey championships, which is 7 or 8, I think. And so both schools have great athletic traditions, and it's a great regional rivalry, like many around the country. I remember when I was stationed at Fort Knox, we were coming back from, maybe it was Nashville, and the University of Kentucky was playing, and going the other way, and every car we went by had blue on it, banners coming off, antennas, and the whole nine yards. Because again, the state doesn't have a professional sports team, and the University of Kentucky football team and basketball teams, right, are the biggest thing going. So it's cool stuff. Cool stuff. All right. Well, good luck to the good luck to the University of North Dakota. So
I figure that if they get within 2 touchdowns.
It's a win?
Of the Bison,
come on.
It's a win.
No way. Either win or go home. That's what. That's the only. Yeah. That's the only way it works in rivalries. So.
That's exactly true.
All right, there,
so,
my man. Thank you for the visit today.
It was great, and everybody have a great weekend, and enjoy the fall. It's starting to turn here, and it's quite beautiful.
There you have it. The All Marine Radio head chef, Kim Holmes. Thanks, Kim. I'll talk to you.
My pleasure. Talk to you soon.
There you have
it. Bye-bye.
That is him. He even called in, which that means he's a big boy now. That'll do it on a Friday. If you just tuned in, don't touch that dial. Yeah, the first hour is pretty good. You're going to hear Maria Bartiromo. She's She's like using All Marine Radio material. Not even giving me credit for it. But that's all right. I like Italians. So you're going to hear her talking about how she doesn't think there's going to be a deal either with China, because there can't be a deal. She doesn't say it like that. She doesn't say it like I say it, but I think if she and I sat down, she'd look at me and she goes, you know, Mac, you're absolutely right. I say, thanks, Maria. You know any good Italian joints around here? So that's going on. So you'll hear that. Also, you hear Jack Keane talking about Afghanistan and some of the things, you know, I think all of us are hearing about the deal in Afghanistan. I'm not sure if troubling is an appropriate enough description of it. And so anyhow. And then my problem, though, is there's been 4 Americans killed in the last 2 weeks. And what's our response to that? Restraint? No. Right? Prosecute the target list. Right? And kill them. Kill as many of them as often as we can until they come to the table. Restraint is weakness in the Middle East. So anyway, I'm getting my carpets cleaned today. I'm pretty fired up about that. The guy no-showed, but he texted me late and said, hey, I'm really sorry. Can I come tomorrow? I'll knock $50 off the price. I said, sure, buddy. No problem. So anyway, that's going on in the household today. And so hope you have a great weekend. I'm trying to think. On Monday, I want to have a little, we need to like revisit Iran and China. And by all accounts, the worst of the weather on the East Coast has Dorian not kind of wrecking the havoc on Marine bases in North Carolina that some had feared. So good for them. Good for them. Have a great day. On a Friday, All Marine Radio, over and out.